All right, here we go.
This is the one.
What should I do and how should I do it? I got a problem and I gotta get through it. Who should I talk to? Who should I see? What book should I check out of the library? Yeah, but I don't read, so I watch some TV. I see what Hulu has to offer me. I got Netflix and Amazon Prime. I got more options than I got time. I just need a little distraction to keep my mind off my lack of action. I just need a little TV so I can forget completely. Forget completely.
Yeah.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Life's a Binge. I'm Jared.
I'm BJ.
And we are coming at you live from BJ's porch, as always. And thanks for listening and following and liking and subscribing and going to lifesabinge.com and checking out our website and following us on all social media at Life's a Binge.
And for those of you who just heard us on the Nerd On Pod, the podcast, thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening and thanks for checking us out on your own.
Yeah. And now
welcome.
And now here's a real episode, unless you've gone back and listened to all the other ones or who knows when you're actually listening to this. But in sequence order, this is the episode, the full length episode that we were recording after that episode with them as aired. Mm-hmm. So if you're coming over for this one, that's fantastical and we're glad to have you.
Yep. Indeed.
And we made a small announcement on our midweek episode that we're going to be trying to do camera stuff this week, but we had some mishaps with that.
It's all good. So you know what?
So we don't have cameras live this week, but maybe in the future.
That's cool. Yeah, we're trying.
Yeah,
we're trying.
We're working on it. Yep. We just don't have the good enough equipment. And if you want to help us get better equipment, segue, you can go to patreon.com/lifesabinge and you can help us out.
Speaking of patrons, we want to say hi to our patrons.
Yes, our patrons.
So we have David. Hi, David.
Hi, David. Tony.
Tony.
Yep. Hi, Tony.
Hey, Tony.
Kathy.
Kathy. Hi, Kathy. That's your mom.
And our producer, Jess.
And Jess, and who's the super producer.
She is our producer. And
she's the only producer.
And yes, as of now. And our honorary bingers as well.
Yep. You know, so, you know who you are.
You guys are all awesome possums, and we thank you very much.
Very much.
But with that, we got a good topic today, so let's get this show a-rolling. Big breath. Here we go.
Life's a binge.
I purposely didn't breathe out, like, specifically, like, I'm not going to make sound, because I was told I breathe loud on there.
Well, you do, every time.
Yeah.
But it's okay, I have to edit it
out. I always assume.
I have to edit out all that stuff anyway, because it didn't go right when I hit the button. Or I'll just leave it, and we'll just, it'll seem awkward. But anyway, let's get things going with our first segment. It's called What's Up?
What's up?
What's up?
What's up, my dudes?
So,
yes,
there's so much up.
Is there?
Well, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, just had my birthday.
Yes.
So we're on the spot where last night we were all gathering and hanging out, and it was very nice.
Happy birthday,
and
my friend.
Of course, my birthday means an anniversary of the birth of our podcast, because that's where it started.
It did start.
In this yard.
This is correct. Wait, this is episode 154?
I think so.
Oh. So there's a spider that's about to land on your head. Nope, you just hit him.
Ooh, I felt it.
He's right there.
I felt it.
He's now climbing back up into the umbrella.
I see him.
And, yeah. Okay.
Right. Let me know if he comes towards my head again.
I will not, because it'll be funnier.
It will be. I like to hit the high note that I hit once when my sister was helping my sister with a mouse in the cabana at my brother's house.
And you screamed?
I screamed and hit a high note that I've never hit before, never hit before or since.
That's fantastic.
That my sister will still wet her pants in just laughter and remembering the high-pitched thing. I wish you could do that again.
Dig it. It's so great. Okay, you're talking about your birthday.
So birthday was a big thing. So
yeah.
So that was really nice.
And the birth of our show.
Birth of our show.
Yes.
And so this morning, so we cleaned up a little bit last night. I was kind of hoping, like, I don't know, fucking 51 now. So it's like things are a little, you know. I'm like, I kind of hope. Like midnight, that'd be nice. Like,
you want to wrap things up early.
Wrap it up early-ish. Yeah.
Right. Midnight's early.
Right, as opposed to like 2 a.m. or, you know, which it's gone before and later. So, anyway, it was nice to kind of to wrap it up a little bit early. But damn it, what was I going to say?
I have no idea.
You should.
I was trying to follow along, but you were just talking gibberish about going to sleep by midnight. And
there's so much. There's so
and
much
your party
stuff. Okay,
probably
so
went
I
later
got up this morning.
That.
Here it is. I know where we're going.
You're welcome.
So this is the same
that's,
one.
No, that's just what one. Was happening in your brain right there.
That's my brain every second of every day.
Continue.
So I got up this morning. We wanted to clean up a little bit. So we cleaned up before it got too hot. And then there was presents that I didn't realize that I didn't notice that I had gotten. And okay. So
you got bonus gifts.
So I opened my gifts this morning. And one of them was this sweet tripod that Mikey P gave me.
Sweet.
Speaking of Mikey P, Mikey Pettner's joining us today.
Yes.
He's with us. He was going to be doing our video for our broadcast premiere.
Where's my button that goes epic fail? No, I don't have one of those.
Not all of them, man.
But
all
man, we put a lot of effort into it, a lot of time, and it's all right.
It didn't work this time. It'll work next time.
Yeah, get back on the horse and try it. But anyway, like I don't know about maybe it's Sundays, but I feel like maybe on Sundays I'm more emotional than other days. I don't know. Like, and generally, like, on Sundays, a lot of times I will, like, in the morning I'll get up, and I don't go to church very often,
sure.
You know, but I'll put on something inspirational and something, and I'll just get reflective, and I'll get, and I'm just a little bit more emotional on Sunday. So anyway, I got very emotional when I, like, opened this thing up, thinking about what a good freaking guy Mikey P is. And it was just, it was, like, overwhelming for a moment that I'm glad to say it on the air. You're a really great guy, Mike.
Truth.
You're a great friend and a really good guy, and you made me cry this morning.
And a bad technical director.
and you also made me cry tonight.
and then you made me cry when I was wasted all this time. Just kidding. It wasn't time wasted. We're figuring it out.
Yeah.
You know, which is what we have to do.
Yeah, it's
so
true.
So that was cool. Also, that present from Allie and Jeff, who are really present people. They're just great like that.
Nice.
And I always feel bad because I'm really not a gift guy. I like to be good guy, but I'm just not that. It's not like I'm not generous. I'm generous, but I just never think about gifts. Mainly because I never think about gifts for myself.
Selfish piece of work.
Maybe that's like maybe so. Probably, you know.
No.
So anyway, that was nice. It was nice to get that and get.
Well, and you found them in the morning, which was like, ooh, random stuff. Woo-hoo.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And
so. So that's what's up. And then I went to got a text, hey, from my brother, Tony and La Mesa,
mm-hmm.
Who said, hey, we're going to go see Ant-Man at 11 a.m.
Wait, who called you?
Tony and La Mesa.
Tony and La Mesa.
La Mesa. La Mesa. La Mesa. La Mesa. La Mesa.
Yeah, go ahead.
La Mesa.
He called you and did what?
La Mesa. It's still going. All right, anyway. Ant-Man's playing, 11 a.m. Who wants to go?
Nice.
And Andrea didn't see Ant-Man 1, so she's not really.
Probably didn't need to. I'm guessing.
I don't think she needed to, but she didn't. For whatever, she wasn't like, nah, you go. So I jetted over and watched Ant-Man.
Fuck yeah.
And so that was that.
Coming at you next week, Ant-Man and the Wasp, by the way.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense. And it was good. I'm really, like, excited to talk about it, too.
Nice.
So that'll be fun next week. And there was some previews. So this kind of like, maybe that'd be more like in the news.
Yeah, we'll save that.
So,
that little nugget.
Yeah, good previews. But that's what's up.
Nice.
Nice birthday weekend. I took the whole weekend off Saturday.
Did you have a good
4th
of July?
I had a very busy 4th of July.
You worked at the
I worked
zoo and
both.
Stuff, right?
Yeah, I worked. So that was the first time, and I'm imagining it's going to happen again.
Both jobs one day?
Right, yeah. Woof. So on a hot day.
Yeah.
And a busy day. So it was it wasn't busy at the zoo because. No one's going to the zoo for destination.
Right.
Whereas opposed to SeaWorld, people will go there, stay there,
right.
And they'll be close to the beach. They're going to see
fireworks and stuff.
But,
yeah.
So for the SeaWorld was busy, great crowds, great shows.
Nice.
Zipped over to the zoo, and it was a smaller crowd, but it was just nice.
Still,
it was nice,
fun.
To kick off the summer. That was my first Friday and Wednesday and Thursday of the summer.
Double
and
day.
So, yep.
Cool.
So that was all good. Good
nice.
Stuff.
And,
how about you?
We went and saw The Incredibles at the drive-in, which was fun. And Incredibles 2, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
And that was always a good time, going to the drive-in with my wifey. And then we were going to come to your potluck.
Mm-hmm.
But then we went and hung out with her sister, Katrina, who shares your birthday.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
We went up to the casino and played bingo instead.
How was that?
We lost. Lost. I got within two numbers, though.
Bingo's fun because you can talk to people.
Yeah, it's fun. But it's like, it's so frustrating. Crazy. It's so frustrating when you're like so close to bingo and then they call that next number and some asshole behind you is like, bingo. It's like, God damn it.
Yeah.
Because I've never won bingo in the, I don't know, 10 times I've gone to a casino to play bingo.
I don't know if I've ever played it in a casino, but I've played it like events, like fundraisers and stuff. And
no, casino bingo, man. You got to win that $1,200.
Dude, that'd be fun.
Yeah, it's $30 to get in, and then you can potentially win $1,199.
Yeah, that'd be dope.
Yeah.
That'd be really cool.
And when you're two numbers away, and then that stupid old bastard sitting behind you.
Bingo!
Yeah, exactly. It's like, thanks, jerk. Not really, but it was fun. I just hung out with my brothers on 4th of July. And
right on. Yeah. Did you see fireworks?
Uh-huh. We climbed on the roof and watched fireworks in El Cajon.
I am embarrassed. We didn't watch fireworks. But then again, I was exhausted.
And you see them all the freaking time.
I do.
What else? I got my grill that I bought at the fair that came in the mail, and I've been grilling some stuff.
Well, explain.
I got a Traeger smoker, automatic pellet smoker.
Is it kind of like the Green Egg? You've heard of that?
Yes.
People talk about the Green Egg.
But the Green Egg, you have to baby. You have to sit by and work the smoke
and
all
that. So tell me about this grill.
It uses wood pellets.
Okay.
Rabbit food.
A gas grill?
Wood. It is wood.
I just said
it uses wood pellets.
Well, I mean, like the smoke is going to be wood, but you could use
it just uses the little hot pot that the pellets fall into, and then it's... And there's a little fan in there, and it blows it all around.
So it heats the wood up to make the smoke, and blows the smoke in there.
Okay. And then it gets hot, and then it turns it into a grill, oven of sorts.
So it's a slow cooker.
Smoked me some tri-tip, and it was delicious.
And how long? Hours?
I smoked it. It was on the grill for about 4.5 hours, and that was like low heat. And then
when I think of like on the grill, though, I'm thinking... Blast of high heat at the end. So you can like blast and get it.
You can full temperature control, yes.
So you can grill up burgers, like a hot burger, like
yes,
on high heat.
But you won't get a sear. It doesn't sear because it's got a porcelain coated grill and it won't get hot enough to create sear.
The It'll porcelain never gets that hot.
No, it will, but the grill itself won't get hot enough to create a sear.
Okay.
It's not made for searing. You can grill on it.
Cook. You'd grill on something else.
Probably. Yeah. It would cook. It's just not going to give you the crazy grill marks and stuff. But whatever. As long as it's cooked, I'll eat a burger off anything.
Because, I mean, the Hank Hill in me is like, of course you need that, like, sear. You need that sear. Like, you need that sear for a steak or a chicken.
You just need the tasty, smoky bark that's on the outside of your tasty, delicious.
I mean, that would be good, but it's that crispy, like.
It gets crispy.
I need to try it.
I'll bring you some tri-tip next time.
Yeah.
Because it's delicious.
Because you're not coming over.
But
because I was about to invite myself over.
But. And that's basically all I did. So I think that's the end of that segment.
That's what's up. What's up.
And we move right along.
This just in.
Okay, so I want to hear about the trailers that you saw for Ant-Man.
Okay.
But I do want to announce that San Diego has yet again burnt down. Not really, but there was a crazy fire out in Alpine. It burned like 400-something acres, and some houses burned down, and it was crazy. And it got to 118 degrees on that day that the fire started. So
it's Friday. Yeah. Yesterday. Day before yesterday.
I was delivering mail, and it was 118 degrees outside.
Seriously? You're outside?
That's outside. Inside my oven of a postal truck, it was probably
even
close
hotter?
To like 120, 125.
Aw, dude, that's rough.
Yeah. Everyone's like, got AC in there? I'm like, fuck you and get back away from my truck before I murder you because I'm so hot. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm about to go postal.
Everyone thinks it's so funny to say the same stupid things. Hot enough for you today? I'm like, yeah, you dick. It is hot enough.
You know what you need? You need another postal outrage moment, you know, just to thin out
just
the ranks of the jerks.
It, yeah.
Yeah, just like so
no,
people
it's
know.
It's ridiculous. But
you don't mess with postal people.
It was really hot. And so and then San Diego caught on fire like it does. And then go ahead.
No, I was just saying, you remember, so I mean, like, it wasn't, so those are out, right?
Yeah.
Like, we had a little cloud burst.
Yep, it helped.
And so those are all gone.
Yep.
So we've had major, much more major.
2003 Cedar Fire, woof.
Oof, woof indeed.
That was
the one.
Yeah, that was crazy time. That's when San Diego legit burned down.
And then there was the other one that was after that was like, they say it was kind of like almost as bad.
Yeah.
Was it only a year later?
Yes. They went back to back, 2003, 2004, both in October.
Yeah, they were brutal. Because I remember, oh my goodness, I'll never forget waking up in the morning.
And it was like, dark outside because there was much ash and smoke in the air.
It was more like a crazy nuclear holocaust dream.
It was weird.
Yeah, it was super red sky all over.
It looked kind of foggy, but like it was
And everything
weird.
Was really red.
Yeah,
like,
it
like,
was bizarre.
Because the sun coming up through the flames made and all the smoke
it was,
just made, yeah. it looked cool.
It was crazy cool.
But it was Man, it looked like a it looked
you're,
like a
you're outside,
like a dream.
It looked like you're in a fog cloud, but it's all ash and smoke. So you're like, well, I should probably not be standing outside in this rain. They shut down everything. Yeah. Everywhere was closed. There was like every news was like, stay inside, or if you go outside, take a mask with you. It was just crazy.
It was.
It didn't go that bad this time.
Did you have do you remember?
Oh yeah.
Did you get cabin fever?
No.
I did.
I still went outside. I wasn't supposed to. But I went outside. Still went outside.
And then the my girlfriend at the time, we were just like,
no.
Like we just wanted to kill each other.
Outside, I drove my car around. I just didn't sit around like I should have. I was stupid, but
there was like, stay inside.
Bye. Got to go outside. So that's what happened this week in San Diego. And then the only other thing I have for news is Steve Ditko, who is the co-creator of Spider-Man and Doctor Strange, passed away at the age of 90 yesterday.
Oh, wow.
He was the artist who drew Spider-Man for the first time. So shout out to Steve Ditko.
I wonder if he was responsible for like the original design.
Spider-Man and Doctor Strange, he was co-creators of those two.
So, yeah,
and he
probably
was the artist, yeah. So
that's too bad.
90 years old.
But that's a good run.
Yeah.
That's a good run.
But it just makes me sad that, knock on wood, Stan Lee's like right around that same age, and he's coming up.
Yeah.
But anyway, so speaking of Marvel.
And speaking of Stan Lee.
You probably saw,
And Marvel.
Were you at a tangent or no? Is this still news?
This is just a minor thing.
Okay.
It's just a minor thing, and we'll talk about it next week.
Sure.
But Stan Lee's cameo, you know, how he does
Ant-Man's
his thing.
Good times.
And Ant-Man. It is, and it's a little more, it's like, wow. Like, he kind of goes someplace where he's not gone before with his reference.
I dig it.
Yeah, and so I was. It made me go, okay. Oh, wow. All
sweet.
Right. So anyway, Ant-Man is thoroughly enjoyable.
And what about the trailers? You said you want to talk about trailers.
There was some. So there's some big stuff coming up.
Sure.
I saw a preview. I don't know if you saw it or not, for the new Dumbo Live.
Yep. Tim Burton.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, which I'm intrigued.
It looks okay.
I like Tim Burton, but then again, like I've said before, I am always a fan of the Tim Burton originals, but not of the remakes.
Right.
So we'll see.
Well,
this
is a continuation. Could be construed as a remake.
Is this not this is the Dumbo story, right?
It is a continuation of Dumbo. Technically, it's a sequel.
Oh, I didn't know that. I assumed that it was essentially Dumbo.
My understanding of what I've read is that technically it's a sequel.
Gosh, I wonder. Because when they're showing the preview, it looks like they're discovering Dumbo, and they're discovering his big ears, and they're showing
him fly. People are. Because in Dumbo, the only thing that really happens for a second, I guess the circus kind of gets wind of it for a second. But this is supposed to be after he, like, initially does his little first flight, from
is
what
it?
I've heard.
Okay.
Like, end of Dumbo, when he jumps off the thing for the very first time, this movie apparently picks up right after that.
Interesting.
That's what I've read.
Okay.
But I don't know.
I'll be curious. I'll probably go watch it.
Yeah.
I'm sure that visually, there's going to be a lot of good, entertaining stuff
that I've seen, and the way that Dumbo looks and everything, it's not
good.
Like off the wall Tim Burton. It looks like Big Fish Tim Burton.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense.
Big Fish, great movie.
Well, yeah, that's why I referenced
great
it.
Great movie.
Okay, what are the
Alice in Wonderland, not so great.
That was good.
Just that's not as great. Not to me. Yeah. Like, and same as, don't even get me started on Charlie and Chocolate Factory.
We all know.
But anyway.
What other trailers
So got? there was the new Harry Potter.
You mean Fantastic Beasts?
Yep. So
like whenever you say Star Wars, you're talking about Solo, which is entirely different.
But if you say the new Star Wars, you know what I'm talking about.
Yes. No. If you
about.
Were having a conversation with somebody and at your party or whatever,
right.
And you're like, man, that new Star Wars movie, I don't know how I felt about it. They'd be like, Last Jedi? Because that's the newest Star Wars movie.
Right.
They wouldn't think you were talking about Solo, quote,
right.
A Star Wars story.
No, you're right.
And just like when you say there's a new Harry Potter movie, I'm like, what? How has my fan brain not known about, oh, he's talking about Fantastic Beasts, which is a prequel, not really part of Harry Potter, but it's part of the Harry Potter universe.
In the universe, though, like in the preview, they go to Hogwarts. Yeah. And so they ties it, which they don't do in the first one.
No.
And so the first one feels a little bit more detached from everything to me.
Yeah, a little bit.
And so this one, like, just even in the preview, it feels a little bit more attached to the Harry Potter universe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you get Dumbledore in this one and stuff, mm-hmm.
And so anyway, which looked interesting. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm looking forward to that. There was a couple of fantastical story ones that geared towards kids.
Sure.
That I can't really recall the name of them.
For Ant-Man?
No, yeah.
Were they PG movies or PG-13? They
could have even been G, even. Like, they looked definitely like, kind of like...
Like 3D animated? Like a Pixar movie type look? Or no, like animated? Or no, Wrinkle in Time fantasy type movie?
Yeah, right. Like Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe type of thing. I wonder
what it was.
Narnia. It was one that I hadn't heard of.
Checking for...
There was one...
Like trailers or something?
Since I just saw the movie yesterday as well, it stars Jack Black. So
yes.
Was it Jumanji 2?
No. It's a new movie. Because they made that.
That's coming out. Yeah, anyway.
I'm looking.
But, what else you got? That one, and then there was every time that I've gone to the movie, I feel like in the last year, I see a preview for the new Tom Cruise Mission Impossible.
Oh, yeah, right.
And every time I see a preview, I'm like, yep.
Yep, that's going to be good.
Yep.
Yeah, like, that's going to be good.
I'm going to watch that.
Yep.
That I'm sure that's going to be entertaining.
True that.
And so...
Cool.
So, anyway.
Yeah, that's the thing that wraps up our news. Yeah, Steve,
what do you got?
I got that Jack Black movie is The House with the Clack.
Right,
sorry.
With the clock walls.
Yes.
Oh, the House with the Clack walls. I've seen the trailer for that. That looks actually real good. It's kind of like a haunted house story, kind of a weird portal.
And is it Gwyneth Paltrow? Who's the woman?
I don't know. I saw the trailer a while ago.
Okay, yeah. It's not Gwyneth Paltrow.
Kate Blanchett.
Yeah.
Nice. I get those two mixed up.
Are you on IMDb?
Mm-hmm.
What's the synopsis? Does it have a brief one or a tagline or something?
A young orphan named Louis Barnevet aids his magical uncle in locating a clock with the power to bring about the end of the world.
Huh.
Sweet. That sounds more intriguing than I thought it was. Cool. But I think that wraps up our news segment, so I'm going to hit this button because I can.
That's what's up. What's up.
I like you got the three drums at the beginning of that clip there.
It technically only has one, but I make it have three. But I make it have three.
I could have six if I wanted.
But with that, we shall take a quick break. Hello, everyone. It's Jared, just cutting in real quick. Sorry for the interruption, but I'm the editor, and I can do that whenever I want. Now, we've had the issue of the past couple weeks where we get so wrapped up talking about our topic that we almost forget to do Maddie's movie review, and that happened again this week. So I am making the executive decision to put Maddie's movie reviews before the break from now on. And with that being said, let's check out another amazing movie review from Matt Warburton in What Do I Know? And now, another installment of What Do I Know with Matt Warburton.
Hello, everyone. I'm Matt, and this is What Do I Know? Ah, college. The League of Ivy, where the halls are filled with learning, the promise of opportunity, and grand-scale thievery. At least if you're friends with Warren Lipka, Spencer Reinhardt, Chaz Allen, and Eric Borsuk, American Animals takes a very unique approach to the summer heist movie and shows what it would look like if amateurs got together, having no experience other than movies, planned and executed a heist. As American Animals shows, nerves can be unpredictable, unforeseen circumstances can happen, and things can go real south real quick. Why did they decide to go with a very real execution to a heist movie? There's a good reason for that. Because it actually did happen. American Animals lets the audience know that it is not based on a true story. It is a true story. This is a recount of a heist that took place in 2004 in Lexington, Kentucky, known as the Transy Heist, where four college students robbed a library for multi-million dollar books, one of which is called Birds of America. This movie was really interesting. It put me in the mind of the college students pulling off the heist and what led them to doing it from the beginning. It actually reminded me of I, Tonya, a true story with a kicking soundtrack to go with it, some of which is playing beneath me right now. One of the big differences between American Animals and I, Tonya is that American Animals, in addition to the actors who play the four college students, also have the real-life college students who pulled off the heist give retrospective throughout the movie. There's even points where a real-life Lipka is in the car with the film version of himself, played by Evan Peters, and it gives some interesting insight. By the way, Evan Peters was great in this movie. He is such a broad actor where he can get so incredibly intense and serious, and then in a single word, change the tone and lighten the room. Neither of those things are easy, and I really admire actors who can do that. The other students were also really well cast. You can tell there was so much effort and energy that paid off to give great performances, which is one of the great benefits to indie Sundance films. Everyone is giving it their all. The heist moments and how things unravel get crazy. Because they're so real, it seems like they left no detail out. During the actual heist, things can get real grisly and heart-pounding. It's not a 100% fun ride, because actual events don't always go that way, and this movie leans a lot towards the real. Nonetheless, it was really intriguing, and there wasn't a dull moment for me. I would say easily one of the best films of the summer, and I say film with the snootiest voice possible, because it is not at all a summer blockbuster flick. After seeing this, you will be thinking about it and talking about it for days to come. So I give this movie a great big rousing, go see it right now while you still can. I would not be surprised if it wins some awards next year, honestly. But that's just my opinion. Put on your own best songs to pull off a heist playlist, throw caution to the wind, and legally buy a ticket or movie pass yourself into the theater and decide on your own because, hey, what do I know? Next time, I'm going to see how much more mosquito juice I can still suck out of that old hunk of amber because I'm watching Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom. Until next time, I'm Matt, and this is What Do I Know?
Thank you, Matt Warburton. You are truly the best. And now, that being said, back to the regular scheduled program and your commercial break.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
One, two, three. Whoa! Oh, is that our film?
Ladies, exciting stuff. Feels a little different around here. And we got a few men in the gym, finally.
Woo! Hubba hubba.
All right, don't distract them. They have work to do.
I'm excited. Aren't you excited?
My costume still smells like beer and racism.
Was I supposed to wash these? You have a good break?
Yeah.
She's getting divorced. It's complicated.
Usually you do a lot better job of keeping your weird friendship stuff out of the ring.
Just hope she can keep up.
You're on that show, right? Glow. Welfare Queen.
What'd you call my mom?
It's a wrestling show. I'm not the only offensive character. Everyone's offensive.
We have fans. I mean, the girls get letters. There's weirdos waiting outside for me.
Wait.
You're my favorite.
I can see that.
We're gonna be canceled.
I can't believe this.
I think this might have something to do with me.
That is how this business works.
It shouldn't be that way.
They gave a men's wrestling show our slot.
So you just let them do whatever they want?
Nuh-uh. No.
No.
What are we gonna do about it?
I say we do whatever the hell we want to do. Set the weirdos free and see what happens.
If you want to be respected, you gotta make yourself useful.
I know what I'm worth, and I'm not apologizing to anyone.
Everything is gonna be hard.
I forgot to pick up my son at daycare today.
I don't want to make this show that.
Who's ready to do this? Look, I know this is going to be hard. But I believe in miracles, and we are going to make this miracle happen.
We are the gorgeous ladies of wrestling.
You want to wrestle with mommy? So when you're older, you can talk about it with your therapist.
Back to the
And we're back.
You remember, did you ever watch Aqua Teen for Hunger Force?
Yeah.
So that just Master Shake, and he had the thing.
Oh.
I'll do it. Ass disease messages. So it always makes me laugh. I always say ass disease.
Ass disease.
Ass disease messages.
Nice. Good times.
It's also like Poison Girls. I always, when I'm saying, our ladies and gentlemen, Boys and Girls.
Poison Girls. Yeah, Poison Girls.
Yeah, for some reason.
Poison Girls.
It just makes me think that.
That's funny. You should say that every time then. Just say Poison.
I do, and no one knows anything. No one says anything.
Ladies and gentlemen, Poison Girls.
Yep. Subversive messages. Yeah. So.
Ladies and gentlemen, comma, Poison Girls, period.
T-shirt.
And
there's,
welcome.
There's your T-shirt.
Right. So anyway, as you just heard, we are talking about GLOW Season 2, if you know it, if you know. I mean, the title of the episode's GLOW Season 2, so I hope you know. But anyway, yeah. That was the trailer for Season 2 of this epically good Netflix show.
Yeah, and so from here on this episode, the spoiler alerts. Spoiler alert! Because we're going to talk about it.
We are going to talk about it. So if you haven't seen it, I don't know why you're listening, but anyway, turn back now and come back later.
Sometimes people don't, you know, they just want to hear about
it. I do all the time. I don't, unless it's something real big that I really care about, I'm like, meh, and then I'll just listen to it anyway. Like, there's a horror movie podcast I listen to, and I never see the movies, ever.
Right.
But I'm like, I enjoy you talking about them, so I just listen anyway.
Well, you know,
and they say it all the time. Don't listen, this one has a good twist.
Right.
You're going to want to be surprised, and I'm like, just get on with the show, because I don't care.
There's so many things I want to talk about. First of all, real quick.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
We're in a tangent, and we're tangenting from the tangent that we've tangented from.
So, real quick.
Yeah, right.
Ant-Man,
we're talking about that next week.
That's what I'm saying, real quick. In the preview for Ant-Man, the most recent one.
Yes.
They did the thing that drives me up the wall, and we're going to talk about it next week.
Then why are you bringing it up?
Because we just talked about it.
Oh, God.
We're about spoiler alerts and
sure.
such.
Sure.
Where they say in the preview, an ending you won't believe.
Oh,
motherfucker.
Right.
It makes me so mad. That infuriates me.
Why?
Because
you're expecting a twist or something?
You don't want to. Yeah, I don't. I hate when someone is with a twist you won't believe.
Right.
Because all of a sudden.
Then you're just waiting for it.
Exactly.
Or looking
for
it.
Exactly. You're looking for it the whole time. And so I'm like, when I heard that, I'm going to go see it anyway. But part of me was like, well, fuck it. I'm not going to see this movie.
Right.
Because they chose to like advertise it like this.
Well, that's the problem with movie trailers in general is they used to just be like
the entire movie.
Well, no, they used to be like, here's an enticing couple snippets that make it look like it's exciting to see.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. But then they started adding in all the like crazy hyperbole of stuff.
Right.
Where it's like, A Quiet Place, a genre-defining masterpiece, the scariest movie since whatever.
Right.
And, like, all these stupid critics quotes, and I'm like, it wasn't genre-defining. It wasn't, like, a horror masterpiece. It wasn't the scariest movie. It was really good.
It wasn't
But
good.
It was not a horror genre-defining, game-changing, epically crazy good movie.
Right.
Like, it was a good horror, like, it was a good suspense movie, and it was, like, filled with good suspense, but all the, like, hyperbole that people are using to describe movies now, like, it's the craziest ending of all time. You'll never believe what is
right.
about to happen.
Yeah.
And then you get there, and I'm like, I predicted this, like, 15 hours ago
right.
because it's a stupid movie.
Yeah.
So,
talking about finding out about the storyline before you see it. Like,
okay.
Which is maybe another tangent inside of a tangent, but we were talking about
God.
That. You don't have to. But so you were saying, we were just saying, you were just saying how you don't mind hearing about,
right.
you know, these
yeah,
things.
Sometimes. It depends on what it is.
So my friend over at the zoo, who we talk TV and movies all the time.
Sure.
We're talking about movies, and he's like, I want to know what happens before I go in.
Sure.
You know how people like want to read the book,
right?
You know, and we've talked about like, no, I want it to unfold in front of me. I don't want to know.
Right.
He wants to know, and he's like, I don't care. It doesn't ruin it for me. I want to know. I want to know every single time. And I'm like, that's stupid. And then he's telling me more stories, and he's like, that he found out that
don't
like,
spoil anything.
His it's a spoiler, not for a movie.
Oh, no. Okay.
But he's like, he found out that his like, mother is really his grandmother.
Oh, gotcha.
And so, like, he felt like what he thought was... what he thought was reality wasn't.
Right.
And it fucked him up. And from now on, he never wants to know about secrets. Anything.
No secrets.
Right, exactly. Right. Yeah. This last time, you're not even my mom. So I need to know what happens in this movie.
Right.
You know, and so anyway, that's just an interesting little thing there. Yeah. So that's cool. Quick. That's quick and done.
Yeah, for sure. So anyway, Glow Season 2, if you haven't seen it, I don't know why you're listening, but maybe you're like me and you don't care.
Right.
Tangent wrapped
or
up.
Or a friend. Yeah.
Yeah. I really... really liked season two of this show.
I did too. And like I was saying earlier, for whatever reason, Sunday I get a little more emotional, and I'm weeping through several different parts of the show.
I took notes
several different
on
parts.
The show, because this is a true binge for me, uh-huh. which those are few and far in between these days. Mm-hmm. But I love when I actually have the time and opportunity to actually binge something, mm-hmm. that because I binged the first season, mm-hmm. in a day, and I binged this season. I watched two last night, and then I watched eight today.
Okay.
So, if that makes any sense. So, I'm real fresh on it. And I actually took notes, because I knew I was going to binge it.
Right.
And so,
and you knew we were going to talk about it.
So, episodically, I was, like, trying to make a few notes here and there.
Cool.
And one of my notes specifically, where did it say? It says, got teary-eyed when... dot, dot, dot. And I'm not going to say that, because it's later in the notes. But, yeah, dude, I got weepy, man.
Yeah. Like, yeah, there were several parts.
Yeah.
There were several parts where I was, like... found myself surprisingly caught up into the emotion of
it. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Like, surprisingly.
Well, the same thing happened in season one. Like, season one, you're following this whole story, and, like, are they going to get a show? Are they going to be any good? Is it going to happen? And then as the finale of season one happens, and they're actually doing their live show, and, like, Debbie and Ruth are headbutting still. They're not talking to each other. They still have this huge feud going on, but then they're like, we have to do the show. And then they do this epic match, and, like, you're just... on the edge of your seat, just like rooting for it to happen. You're getting goosebumps watching. And I'm like, this is a TV show. Like,
yeah, yeah, like, yeah, for sure.
I'm not actually watching. Like, it's so, yeah, anyway.
Yeah.
You get goosebumps watching this epic match happen. So, and then this one, kind of the same thing, but like, there's a lot more emotion behind this season.
Mm-hmm.
And I think everyone's character got better.
Uh-huh.
And, oh, man.
Which isn't to say at all that it's heavy-handed or, like,
oh, no.
You know, that it's not, like, pushy with any of it. It's just that it's really, really well done.
Yep.
The main characters are great.
Yeah.
So I'm going to want to cut to, like, episode 6 or 7.
Sure.
Where Ruth is in the hospital.
Oh, yeah.
And they have kind of an iconic, like, kind of, like...
I think that's episode 9, buddy.
I don't know if it's that late.
Yeah,
but,
it is.
But, after she breaks her leg.
Oh, no, that's 7.
Yeah, it's 7, like 7 or so.
7 ends with her...
in the hospital.
Yeah.
Coming out of the hospital.
No. So, 7 starts with her going to the hospital.
Right, and it ends with her coming out.
Yes.
And they do a classic shot of slow motion of...
in a wheelchair.
Yeah, and Marc Maron's character is pushing her...
Yep.
And they have they have Bash on one side and Liberty Bell on the other side.
Yep.
And then it's slow motion. And it's like, these are the main people in the show.
Yep.
And it gives you just a moment to sort of reflect on it. And you're like, yeah, yep. Yeah. You know, yep. Like all these characters, you're bought into them all.
Absolutely, dude.
And especially, God, Alison Brie is excellent.
Like, she
in this
is
movie.
Real good.
She's.
I don't. What's the name of the lady that plays
Betty Gilpin?
Liberty Bell? What's her name?
Betty Gilpin.
Mm-hmm. Betty Gilpin.
Yeah, which I'm not familiar with her at all.
Yeah,
this is the only thing that I've ever seen her in.
Because she was She almost. It's like almost her season. If kind of, it almost felt like it's her season.
They do. They give her a lot. A lot of.
And
the
not
story.
That it's a problem, because one of my notes is, this is such a good ensemble cast that like. There's not, like, even the minor characters you're on board with. Like, Sheila the She-Wolf, you're like, yeah, like, I'm curious. Like, you learn more and stuff about her and how she's, like, why she's so shut off from people. And, like, just learning these little tidbits about these side characters, you're like, you're not really a side character. You're part of the group. You're part of the ensemble.
Right.
Yeah, so.
And they're good. Yeah, they're just so good.
Dude, they're all so good.
So there's this, so through season one.
Yeah.
Almost the beginning of the storyline, Allison Brie has sex with somebody, and you find out later that it's the husband her husband.
Yeah.
And so this is like a bone of contention clearly between them.
Yep.
And throughout first season and the second season.
Yeah. And mostly you feel like it's kind of wrapped up at the beginning of this season or at the end of last season, not kind of wrapped up, but mm-hmm. after their epic match or whatever, they're like, right. So do you want to go get a drink or whatever? And she's like, no,
we're not there yet.
Yeah. We're not friends yet. Again, yeah. We're working together, but right. That's it. And so you're kind of like, oh, okay, well, they're forming the bonds of friendship again. Because mm-hmm. they were, like, best friends.
Yeah.
And then she slept with her husband.
So in this second season, in episode 7,
yeah.
Where she...
Oh, dude, the fight in the freaking...
That is so good. I was completely enwrapped in that scene.
I can't believe...
I'm, like, weeping watching that scene. I'm like, they do it so well. It was so legitimate. Like, all of their stuff was, like, so, like,
this is
honest.
Why we have a podcast together, BJ. My note says, Debbie/Ruth in the hospital scene/fight, period. Emmy, period.
For sure. Like, yeah, for sure.
Like, I'm sure it's not going to win any Emmys or anything for that specific scene or whatever. But, mm-hmm. like, this is Emmy-quality television.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of crap that comes out on Netflix.
Yeah.
And it's entertaining and it's fluff or whatever, but this show is good.
Yeah. No, they like, they hash it out in that hospital room, yeah. And you feel it.
Yeah,
like you are uncomfortable. You are emotional because you were like you're and it's weird. You're on simultaneously both sides. You're like feeling both of their things so strong. And I was just like, I remember watching that, and Andrea hadn't watched all of it, but she's watching it with me.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, everything's just really quiet. Like, we're watching the scene. I'm like, that was a good fucking scene.
It was. Like, and, like, and part of the reason is because you follow the characters along so much that even though you've only seen them for 16 episodes at 30 minutes apiece up until this point,
right?
Like, you're so wrapped up and they're so good. Like, you... Oh, man. It's like acting at its finest.
It is.
And the fact
it's
that you,
really good.
The emotions behind everything they're saying to each other and how you're rooting for both of them and how you're understanding, not rooting for, but you're understanding
right.
both of them and their anger peaks at the right time. And it's like, man, I guarantee that when they were like cut, they like hugged each other and they're like, man, oh man,
yeah.
This is so great. Like, this is when you have a scene partner that you can just get that out of
right.
It's like, man, you just feel so good at the end of it.
Yeah, you
and
know
so,
that you know that like you're hitting something special.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and then
it was
like,
that scene, and I literally wrote the same thing, so I'm glad that you brought that up, because I wrote down like Debbie Ruth hospital fight scene, like,
ugh.
It's so good.
Yeah,
like,
it is.
Yeah. And then I wrote the music for the whole series. Basically this season seemed I liked the music better.
Uh-huh.
I don't, just in my memory, I'm sure I liked the music in season 1 too,
right?
But this season, every time that there was a song that came on, I was like, this fits perfectly.
Yeah.
Like, so, yeah.
Oh,
go ahead.
Allison Brie is so good.
Yeah.
But every time she's Zoya,
yes.
I am dying.
Yeah.
Her Zoya is hilarious.
It's perfect.
It makes me laugh every single, like, every time that she came on screen as Zoya and spoke.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh, okay. So, earlier in the thing where uh-huh. They decide that their matches are too long, and
right.
instead of having everybody
oh,
battle,
they have to audition.
They have to
whatever.
Audition.
Yeah.
And so Ruth is being punished in a way.
Right.
And so she gets matched with the new girl, the junk chain.
The new junk chain.
The Cholo junk chain.
Right.
That's not what they call it. What
yeah,
they,
that's what they
it,
call
it. Is it Cholo?
Uh-huh. Chola. Chola junk chain.
Mm-hmm. And
ghetto junk chain.
Right. And so they're trying to figure out what to do. And they decided to do that break dancing.
Oh, right.
Dude, I was laughing. He was like, and fresh is a punishable offense in Rush. Being fresh. I forget what she says, but
yeah.
It's so funny. Every word that comes out of her mouth is so funny. Like, he's punishable offense for being fresh.
No, it's so, like, and it goes back to Marc Maron as the head of this thing. Like, golly.
I had a note there specifically for you about that. That, like, if your love affair with Marc Maron is kind of like, you know, that you kind of like in the first season, right? You were kind of
who is he?
Where did he come from?
Right. Because I don't listen to his podcast.
Right.
I've listened to like a couple episodes.
You never seen his show?
But nope, I have no knowledge of Marc Maron.
You will
until
love his show.
Glow season 1.
Yeah.
Right.
You will love all the seasons of Maron.
And so, yeah, he just continues it throughout this season. Like, he.
Yeah.
I can't even.
All right. You want to skip to him for a moment?
Yes. Sorry. Well, it ties back into the whole thing about her getting punished and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's because, again, back to the relationships between the characters, the only reason she's getting punished is because she cares so much that she's undermining, not undermining, but he seems to not care as much as she does.
Right. And no, so, no one does. Yeah.
Right. And so, and when she says that in the hospital scene, when she's like, this is all I have.
Yeah, she's
I'm
like,
not
I,
you.
I like the show. I care about the show as much as you do. She's like, no, you don't. You know, and
right.
It's obvious that you don't.
Because she doesn't. No, but yeah. None of them do.
Right.
And so when she's getting punished, it's because, like, I wrote, it ties into the whole Marc Maron thing, because I wrote down, Marc Maron is, in all caps, good. And then I put a sub where he's like a man of the 80s that's trying to be better.
Mm-hmm.
Is how I describe his character. A total man of the 80s that's trying to be better. And you can see that in the very first episode when he punishes Ruth, because he's like, oh, I have to deal with this. You go cheer them up or whatever. And then mm-hmm. she goes and does it. And then just because she makes something that's good,
he's threatened by
he's
it.
He's threatened by it. And he's like, no, you're benched, basically.
Right.
And it's like, what? But then he quickly realizes that she's one of the strongest people he has.
Right.
And so, man, it's just, it goes back and forth the whole season.
So the storyline that I thought played out so good was his daughter.
Oh yeah,
and that was a twist in season one that caught me off guard.
You kind of can see there's something going on. I thought she was kind of like maybe a super fan.
That's
or something.
What I kind of thought too.
But you could tell there was something going on. I didn't predict the daughter thing. Right,
I didn't, but it made perfect sense.
Yep.
Like perfect sense.
Yep.
And now the way that relationship, that was a beautiful thing to watch.
Yeah.
This whole season was like
that
whole thing with them and him trying to figure it out and her trying to figure it out. And at the end where they hug and she goes back with her mom, and you could just see like she's had this hole filled that's been vacant in her entire life.
Well, and so is he. But then says it like.
That's a great line.
What he said.
He says, you know, you let someone in and you make room for them,
right.
And then they leave, and you still
and
have
you
that
still
room.
Have that room.
And he's kind of saying, literally, you know, I made this room for her, and now her room is still there in the house. But he's saying in his heart, you know, you make room for somebody,
right.
And then they're there, and then they're
and
gone,
then they're
and then
gone.
The room is still there,
oh.
And it's nothing filling it up anymore. That
it's
was
so
dude,
good.
Today, dude, I'm like. Baby's like, you like
man.
That line? I'm like, yes,
yeah.
I like that line. That was a really well done line and really well written.
Well, there's so many subplots that are so well written and hard hitting. the welfare queen thing with her son and Stanford and mm-hmm. him coming down and like.
That was really well done. So
like,
well done.
Golly.
Because you couldn't address like the storytelling and not address the racism, which is I hate to ever say harmless racism,
right?
But like,
right.
But in wrestling,
in what they're and like what she says, I think we even heard it in the trailer. When
everybody's offensive.
Where he's like, of course I'm offensive. Everyone's offensive. Like,
right. That's the idea. Yeah.
Right.
And that's how wrestling has always been. Junkyard Dog, the Iron Sheik. Everyone, $1 Million Man,
right.
You know,
it's all like the biggest stereotypical costume you can put on,
right.
And then they put on a phony accent
and a crazy character that plays
right.
all the stereotypes.
And, oh, they're a crazy terrorist that wants to blow up the United States,
mm-hmm.
so that way Hulk Hogan can come and punch him in the face and
right.
like America wins and like,
and
it plays into the story, but it also plays into them trying to hype up the show. And when you're trying to it's like Rocky IV, when you're trying to create the hero, you pit them against the villain at the time.
Right.
And if the villain at the time is Russia, then you pit him against Russia. Or if it's, you know, the Middle East, you pit him against the Middle East. And like, so, but yeah, like you're saying in wrestling, it's always been that way.
Right.
Even though it's not okay. But, you know,
right.
in wrestling, you're kind of expecting mild racism / heavy stereotypes.
And, you know, as a wrestling fan, you check so much at the door,
right.
You know, when you go in,
of course,
you know, and that's the fun,
right.
You don't go in there with a, you know, a critical mind and a, you know, and like a sensitive skin.
Well, that's why I like that they didn't go so hard into it, but they definitely pointed it out.
Mm-hmm.
And then when she lost the match, and then
that was really brutal.
When they were like, "Get a job,"
that was
get
brutal.
A job, and like it's close on her just crying, and her son's looking so disappointed, yeah. And it's like, "Good lord!" But then she quickly bounces back, and she's like, "This is a fucking show," like,
right?
Like she bounces back, but he carries it with him a little bit.
But he bounces back.
But he's bouncing. He's like, "It's my mom," and she's doing great. She's like, she's living out her dream as an actress,
right?
And yeah, so. I like that they went deep with it, but they didn't stay deep with it, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. Yeah. They at least gave it that this is difficult for some folks, or at least there's some stuff that you kind of have to deal with. You have to unpack and shuffle around to deal with it.
And Beirut is her character name.
Right.
But like she was going through it, too. She's like, I don't want to be a crazy racist like terrorist. I want to be a phoenix that's badass. And and then like the old granny ladies are like, we don't want to be old ladies. And then they did their transformation.
The toxic twins or something. Yeah.
And it's like, oh, that's great. But she's like, you stole my idea. Like, we already have a transformation. You can't do it. She's like, but okay. But like she didn't want to be, you know, stereotyped either. But then at the same time, they're like, well, that's my character, so I'm going to own it because it's my job. Like, you gotta own it.
That actress who played, I can't think of the character's name, who does the
Beirut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know that, you know, it's like Debbie is Liberty Bell, but
right.
I can't think of her name.
Oh,
offhand.
Her character name.
Right.
Right.
But have you ever seen the video for Turn Down for What?
No.
You need to see that video before you
do
anything.
I'm sure I have, but I don't know. Yeah.
Have you seen that video? Turn Down for What?
I've seen it. Dee, dee,
dee. Yeah. And they break through the ceiling into the next apartment building. And it's
okay.
Kind of like
I have seen that.
I'm not John Woo, but there's a Asian action film director that's in the style of it, who maybe even directed it. I don't know. But she's one of the... She's in that video. She's like,
"Ooh." Doing the dancing and stuff.
Yeah. and she's also, I believe she's in the movie about the girl who gets sick and the comedian, came out like last year as a love story.
The Big Sick.
Yeah. The Big Sick. Yeah.
Oh, she's in that.
I think so. Is she not the, if I could be racist because, I just remember the Indian girlfriend that they try to set her up with, set him up with. I thought that maybe that was her, but I could just be being,
I don't think so,
you know, racist.
I'm not seeing her.
But no, her character, like her not wanting to be stereotyped, and like, but then when she's, you know, stuck with it, she's like, whatever, I'm just gonna own it, and this is my character, and then they all just own it, like, and it's great.
All right, so
yes,
Bash, what'd you think of Bash?
Man, oh man. So, I can't figure him out.
Which is great.
Yes.
Which is great. I can't either.
I didn't rewatch season one, and that was a year ago.
Right.
And so I don't really remember. I remember liking him, but I don't really remember what was going on.
He wasn't as present, I don't think, in season one. Like, he was around, but I don't think he was in the focus.
Right. And so I don't really remember what was going on with him. And so when they're talking about. What's
Florian?
Florian, right? Yeah. I'm like, what? Who?
I gotta say
I don't remember who that was.
That storyline confused me.
Yeah,
and I watched season two twice, and I was thought, literally up until the end of this last time, just watching it, that Florian was his butler, which Florian was his butler, but not the butler that he goes to see.
Well, that was his mom's butler.
See, like, you know that, and Andrea knows that, because she was like...
Well, he says that.
I know, but I just guess I'm thinking one butler for a house is I'm thinking. Not
well,
like
he
a
has two houses. He's not at his house.
So anyway, Florian is this friend of his who's in the first
he
season.
He says he's his butler.
He is.
Right.
So Florian is his butler.
Okay.
And then his mom's butler is a
friend. Another guy.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's a whole storyline with this.
Like, Florian and him...
Are old friends.
Is that what it is, or are they lovers?
You don't know. You don't know. And then, in fact, that was like the little internet thing that I had given you the link to, Mike, that because I was like, I had to look that up on the web and see what people were saying about
whether
it.
Or not he's gay.
Yeah, is
or
Florian
not.
Gay? I mean, is Bash gay? On
because
the show?
Florian dies of AIDS.
He does, which they never say.
Right. But that's what happens.
And it's. So powerful.
Yeah.
It's so powerful.
It's rough, dude.
It's super, like, when he dies, like, first of all, he realizes that Florian's gay when he goes to the to the gay club. Right. Yeah, and he's like, and he realizes, oh, wait a minute.
Well, does he, or is he just uncomfortable because he hasn't accepted his own sexuality yet?
I think
this is me on one viewing.
I'm thinking that he's not you're right that he hasn't, like, if I'm guessing that if he is gay, he hasn't, like, you know,
acknowledged it
and, sure, and delved into that side of him at all.
Right.
So and whether or not his friend, he knew that about his friend or not.
Right.
His friend maybe didn't share that with him.
Right.
You know, and so.
So maybe he feels betrayed because he found out his friend lived with.
Yeah, and loved. Right. Yeah. And maybe had feelings for. Maybe, right. You know, you don't know.
Well, that's the thing. Do we know him from season one at all? Like, do you remember Florian from season one?
I mean, no. I mean, like, I looked up on the IMDb and looked at the actor. I'm like, I don't really even remember him showing up. But I remember him, like, kind of, like, saying, like, hey to somebody.
There real quick. When they're, like, partying in his house or whatever with the drug.
Yeah, like,
robot and
briefly,
all that stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
And so, so he figures out that he's gay.
Right.
When he goes to the club.
At the club.
And then, when he dies,
well, and then
he died of pneumonia the whole time.
He's looking for him the whole time, right? And then, yeah, he gets a phone call. He thinks it's one of the executive producers or whatever, and it's the hospital. We're calling you because you're listed as. Why is he listed as Florian's emergency contact?
Because
are they literally just really good buddies, or like, you know what I mean? Like, why?
Well, I mean, they live together. So Florian worked for him, you know, so as his butler.
I guess. I don't know.
So
I'm sure we'll find out.
I'm guessing.
Season three,
yeah, there's got to be more to the story.
Right.
But that's all very intriguing.
Right.
And also, they do a very good testament of the times of, like, AIDS was this incredible, like, mysterious killer of gay men.
Right.
And that they called it the gay disease, the gay immune something disease.
Well, and like, that's why when he gets that call and he's like, what did he die from? Technically, it was pneumonia. And right when she said that, I was like, he died of AIDS. Like, immediately.
Yes.
Like, right when she said, technically, it was pneumonia.
Right.
Because they had already done the gay scene, mm-hmm, the gay club scene and all that.
And so you're aware it's the 1980s.
Yep. And so I was like, oh.
Yeah. And then they never say it.
They go one step further, too.
Yeah. And they say, now, there's probably not going to, you're going to have trouble finding a funeral home to handle the body.
Yep.
And then I was like, oh, did that just make
me? And then that
solidifies
that
made me
it.
So, like, oh.
And then when he gets the cleaners to clean the house.
Yeah.
And he's like, you got to get rid of everything. Burn it all, clean everything, bleach the whole house, get rid of everything. And I don't, just clean it out, clear out everything. And the guy goes, don't worry, we've had this before.
Yeah.
And it's like, fuck.
Yeah.
Like,
that was heavy and good.
Well, really there's good. So many little, they're not little, but there's so many subplots.
Right.
That are so heavy, and then it comes back to the full story, and you're like, man, oh man, this is affecting all of them.
Right.
Like, when Ruth gets that meeting with the producer dude, I was like,
I skip over that now. It was uncomfortable to watch the first time.
It was so uncomfortable.
And
I think it made it more uncomfortable because of the heightened Me Too movement.
For sure.
Like, because everyone's like, Harvey Weinstein's a dick.
Right.
And he's this epic producer that has, like, gross misconduct throughout so many, you know, women's careers and stuff. That, like, when she gets the meeting for the producer and she shows up at the restaurant and he's like, oh, no, he takes him in his room. I was like, don't go in there, Ruth.
Trouble.
Don't go in there. Don't.
Trouble.
What are you doing? What are you doing? Oh, man. And then it just plays out, and it's all skeevy and gross. And he's like, yeah, put me in a headlock. Blah. And then he just buries his face in her boobs.
Dude,
it was so, like, blah. Like, praise to the actors and stuff and the story writers because, man, oh, man,
effective.
Did that leave me all, like, willies and gross. And I was like, blah. Yeah. And then she goes and talks to Debbie about it. And Debbie's like, well, yeah, that's how it is. Not so, accepting of it, but, like, saying, like,
hello, welcome to our world.
Right, welcome to Hollywood, basically. And it's like, fuck.
I don't want to be that. What, an actress?
Right.
You know, like, this is what we do, you know, and that's, like, oh.
She says, like, yeah, you let them think that you're going to sleep with them, but you don't. And,
yeah,
like,
for
you
whatever
do
reason.
This and that,
yeah,
and you
but you play
with
along.
Them, and
you
let
make
him
feel
stick
good.
His face there. Right. Right. But she's like, but no, you don't fuck him. You don't do that. You just let him think that you're going to fuck him, and then you leave.
Right.
And so it's like, man, like, fuck it.
Yeah, that was brutal.
So, like, that's that subplot, the, like, almost rape that she goes through.
Right.
That's what she calls it.
Right.
I don't think it was necessarily going to get that far. I wasn't getting those vibes, but just the skeevy, like, if she was in there,
you know, that he probably would have taken still being there as some sort of consent.
Exactly.
Like, so, clearly, you wouldn't be here if you didn't want. Right. If you didn't want.
So that subplot is pretty heavy. The welfare queen subplot is pretty heavy.
The AIDS subplot's
pretty heavy. And then something super simple or basic, not really, but divorce, that plays out the whole season, and that's super heavy.
Yeah.
Like, you watch what's happening to Debbie the whole season, and she is just going nuts over this thing. And it's like, yeah, it can affect people that much. Like, and just to watch her go through it, you're just feeling her pain every time. And then I saw it coming, too, when she's at the car wash and she sees him with the kid. Mm-hmm. And she's, like, walking up. I was like, and enter other woman in 3, 2. Right. Oh, there she is. But it's like, man, and then you have to watch her interact with him and his new girlfriend who is the secretary, who she, like.
Yeah.
The whole divorce thing and, like, Debbie. Again, I feel like this was Debbie's season because you're following her and watching her go through the struggles of getting divorced and all that stuff. And it affects her work and stuff, too, and her relationships with all of her co-stars and everything. So it was hard to watch that, too.
Yeah.
Like, when she starts, good. Like, selling all the furniture and gets rid of everything. Did, and yeah.
Literally, in second watches, like, I will skip the scene with the producer at the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
I would skip her selling all the stuff, too, just because, like, it's painful. I don't really need to watch all that again, you know, and see that. But it's super, super well done.
Mm-hmm. And then the whole Russell, the cameraman story, I was like, oh, that's good. That's a good addition. I like this story. And then it kind of disappears for a couple episodes. And I literally just wrote down, like, where'd Russell go? Like, that was a story that was going somewhere, and then it didn't. Maybe it was just one episode that he wasn't really in, but I was like, well, what happened there?
Yeah.
Like, I was like, I was following along with that pretty good. But then that ties into Ruth and Sam. Where do you think that relationship is?
Well, it's so interesting. And I always wonder because Marc Maron in real life is in the last 10 years or so or more kind of constantly had girlfriends, relationships significantly younger than him. And it's just, you know, this is just part of the deal. This is who I'm attracting and it's not, you know, I'm not like setting out to, you know, get with teenagers or anything like that. It's just, I'm attracting younger women and this is who, you know, we end up, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
Right.
And in a way, you know, I'm with that. You know, I think there's some kind of something to be said for a psychological difference in ages that might be hard to reconcile. But anyway, God damn it.
I asked you, what did you think of the Ruth and Sam relationship? So, and you went into Marc Maron dating teenagers.
Yeah,
so what does that have anything to do with the show? Well,
because his character hits on his daughter.
Well, right.
Inadvertently. Right. But still he doesn't. I think he's drunk at the time, but still
he
rationalizes that.
Sure.
All of these characters are much younger than him. Ruth is much younger than him.
I wouldn't say much.
20 years, I'd say.
Maybe.
At least.
Yeah.
Yeah, at least. Which is pretty significant, you know.
You think he's in his 50s and she's in her 30s? You think that's how it's going?
That's what I would say.
Okay.
Early 30s.
Sure.
And late 50s, probably.
Okay.
But anyway, that you know how sometimes, like,
art imitates life?
Yeah, and Michael Douglas has to play a victim of sex crimes because he's too sexy.
Yeah,
and
but that would imply that he's writing the stories.
Which is not. But it's one of those things where, I don't know. I don't know. That's not a complete thought, you know. So
back to my question. Where do you think the relationship between Ruth and Sam is?
I think that it's in a good place.
Do you think that there's, like, romance there?
I don't.
On either end?
Well, clearly he likes her. I mean, and they set that up because she's like, he's watching through the camera of the cameraman,
right.
Russell.
Sure.
And while they're testing the camera and she's like doing Zoya for him in the camera, and, and Marc Maron is like clearly like taken by her.
Right.
And she's charming and attractive. And so he likes her. He likes her.
Right.
I know. I never get the idea that she likes him. Like, I've never gotten that idea.
Okay.
I like it romantically.
Right.
I think that she probably like respects him.
Sure.
And likes his brain, you know, in a lot of ways.
And she's like their partner. She sees it like their partners working on this project together. Right.
But is not there to validate him.
But see, when they were doing when they were dancing at the dance and like they almost kissed, like,
right.
She was kind of there too.
I don't know if she was or not.
In the moment, like, maybe it was just because it was the moment and da-da-da-da-da, but, like, she was almost there, and then she quickly was like, nope, I gotta get out of here, I gotta go see the guy that I actually am supposed to like. So that's kind of how...
So you think maybe that could be a romance that... Because, honestly, I can't say that I closed the door on that, because I thought that maybe... when they go to Vegas, that maybe they might get together.
Maybe, because Russell didn't go.
Right.
But, like, I hope that doesn't necessarily happen. Because, I don't know. Like, it's, it wouldn't ruin it for me, but I'm like, I like you guys better as a partnership, not as a couple.
I would have to see more of her clearly being attracted to him in that way before
multiple viewings, you still didn't see.
I didn't see
there was a little bit there. The way she's looking at him when they go and see the movie, his movie with all the AV clips.
Yeah,
she's
I don't think like that's romantic. I don't think that it's romantic. Okay. I think it's like artistically, like, you know, someone. He's in a lot of ways, he's someone who she would like to be, you know, professionally.
I can see that.
But I don't.
So you think it's all more of a respect, admiration
for her.
Sure.
Yeah, and so he's like the college professor, and she's the student,
and she really likes him too, like as a person.
Yes.
There's genuine
affection there, but I don't see. I haven't been shown personally watching it that there's this like I have a thing for him or I'm attracted to him.
They're just really good buddies.
Yeah.
Because she stays at his house when like the daughter's there, and like.
Yeah.
And again, he is showing affection towards her mostly.
Like, yeah, right.
Putting the blankets on her and all that stuff. Right. So, yeah.
And I also think that that's like a little bit of his parental
instincts coming through finally. Yeah.
Right.
Because that whole relationship with the daughter thing.
It's so
like,
good.
You just watch them both grow into becoming father-daughter.
Yeah.
Where they're both like so against it. And then they grow into it. Yeah.
Yeah, and I that was all a joy to watch. Like, I'll see you at home. That just made me happy. Like, every time, like, you know, and they're like, take $50 out of my wallet. And you're like, okay, I'm going to spend the rest on drugs.
Yeah.
Okay, you know, that's just really good dynamic. And just, yeah, that made me happy.
Well, a lot of this show, there's a lot of little moments that make me happy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when Cherry... and her husband, who's the ref, who I don't remember what his character's name is. But, like, when he's talking to him because he's the ref and they talk throughout the matches or whatever, and she's about to lose, she's like, no, I got a new character anyway. Let her have this one. Like, it's all good. He's like, okay. Tap, tap. Three, she wins. And then they're in the hotel room and they're trying to, like, spark some stuff or do whatever. And then you just you believe their marriage and you believe their relationship and their struggles and their maybe we want a family, maybe we don't. And like,
yeah. So the first time I saw that scene of them in the hotel room.
Oh yeah. When she does her whole little act for him or whatever.
Yeah. Because I guess I wasn't paying as good of attention, but I thought that he had actually picked up the phone and called somebody.
Oh, right.
And then on second viewing, you see him and just go, hello, I'm going to need a little help in here.
Right.
Yeah. Send some little black magic. And then that which just made it so much cuter. Like after that, like watching it, just like, that's adorable.
Yep.
That's really,
they're so cute and believable as like this married couple.
As a couple, yeah. That was really good.
And then let's get to talk about the end a little bit. So Ruth has been.
I love this end. I love this end so much. Like this is one of the most satisfying endings. Like literally, I can think of in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Like for ending of a series or ending of a season. Like. I was weeping.
That's what my note was. I said, got teary eyed when Zoya wins.
Oh God, that was just brilliant.
Like
it was brilliant.
It was so good. And the power of that scene is Like I said, I was grilling stuff today.
Right.
And so I had to keep pausing it to go check on stuff.
Right.
So pause, go out there and check, come back 5-10 minutes later, play, pause, go back, check, whatever. And so that whole last Royal Rumble match, the whole last finale match, I was pausing and coming back, pausing and coming back, pausing and coming back. And it's still the emotions of it, because I think
right.
I paused it right before, like, right, it was like her on the headphones, like, cut to this camera or whatever. Or she says, like,
we need a camera thing when she wins the belt.
Yeah, put it on camera when she gets the thing.
Yeah.
And then I hit pause, and then I walked away, and I came back probably 10 minutes later and then hit play again. And he's like, no, she's not winning. Get down there. Are you warmed up?
Take off your headphones, yeah.
And I was like, what's happening? What? And then there's the zip line, and like he's like, they all know, and she flies in, and like even Debbie's like so happy and smiling, and like, because they love her,
right?
And she got hurt, and oh, that was another thing that I want to talk about, because she got hurt because of the whole cocaine thing, and I don't know if they're gonna make that more of a story, or if they were just trying to say that that was really relevant or prevalent in the 80s,
right?
Or if they're trying to correlate that with like professional wrestling and like. That was a big problem, or if it's a little bit of all those things kind of subplotted
in entertainment,
into one little
it's probably like prevalent.
Bump of cocaine.
Right.
So,
leg-breaking cocaine.
Breaks her ankle.
Yeah.
But as they're watching the match, all the girls up in the thing, they're like, man, this is so good. Like, they're so fast-paced, and look at how good they are. And it's like, oh, but she's on coke. Like, so I didn't know what they were trying to say with that, because they didn't really mention it. She didn't. Nobody found out she was on coke.
Yeah, they don't address it.
And so I'm wondering if that's going to come into play more or not.
I wonder.
But anyway.
I almost kind of wish not. Like, I hope not.
Yeah, I hope that was like a one-off, and it's like, well, this is what was happening back then.
There you
go,
kids.
Right.
Drugs are bad. Now, back to the story.
Well, and that was and when she fucking zipped down there and... Golly,
when it's clear, it's when he's like, when Sam is talking to her and he's like, you go down there and it's like, Zoya wins the title.
Yeah, Zoya wins.
That's good TV right there. That's just some good TV, good writing.
Like, it's just so like filled with emotion. I'm like weeping.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, this is a stupid wrestling show.
Like, yeah. No, I was like, I was all about it. And like I was like, oh.
And watching all of their reactions to her getting it and like watching Debbie crying and like smiling and being actually happy, because they're like best friends.
Yeah.
And except they're not, because they can't, because she slept with her husband.
Right.
But then the hospital thing, and like they get enough. Oh God, it all comes together so well at that ending.
Yeah, it really does. It really does. It's probably one of the best endings of a season that I can remember in a long time.
Well, and then it also does the anti-Hollywood, where you're like, man, that was so good, and they all loved it. And then you think that one of the execs is going to pick them up to put them back on the air. And then the douchebag is like, sorry, you guys signed contracts. You can't use your characters on TV.
We own them,
And we're not picking you guys up. Bye. And you're like, what? Like, it was just so happy, and now I'm just so bummed.
But feel free to feed your soul and do the show live for your
live
fans
shows or whatever. It's like,
good,
fuck
good for your
you,
soul.
God.
Yeah.
But get then, out of here. But then the stripper guy's like, yeah, we'll take you to Vegas. And I'm like, all right. Which is, see, that's what, because, okay, right when this was over, I got most of the way through the actual documentary of actual.
Which I watched, I watched last year after the first one.
And so. Finding out about, like, the fact that they did make the PSAs, and they did do the weird music videos, and, like, all this stuff, because we haven't even talked about episode 8 yet, and I want to get to that in just a second, but, like, finding out that they did do all that weirdo stuff, and, like, the weird scenes, and all this kind of stuff, like, I was like, I didn't know they really did that. I thought there was, like, they did some of that, but I didn't know they really did it, but then you also find out that they are doing their show in Vegas.
Right.
And so I'm wondering if they did have, like, small time little TV before, or if that was all fictionalized, or, you know, I'm just trying to figure out where the fictions and the realities lie.
Yeah.
Because the actual Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling took place in Vegas.
Right.
At the Riviera.
Right.
And so I'm like, well, now they're going to Vegas. So I'm wondering if the real ladies started small time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
for some reason, I want to say that it happens essentially like it does in the show.
Probably.
Like, it started in L.A. and they moved it to Vegas.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's for the exact same reasons, but it's made sense in the story.
Right.
So
I want to talk a little bit about episode 8.
So episode 8 is the one where it's essentially like...
Episode 8 is you watching an episode
of Glow. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And I thought that was fucking brilliant.
Yeah, that was good.
Like, Stranger Things episode, season 2, episode 7, I think, was that weirdo one where, like, Eleven goes off in the middle of, like, whatever. And, like, do you remember that weirdo episode?
Not a fan.
In season 2 of Stranger Things. Anyway, it was, like, a totally random, didn't have anything to do with anybody else. Mm-hmm. Eleven's just off, like, I'm going to go meet my other numbers or whatever. Mm-hmm. And she tracks down or whatever. Right. Anyway, I thought it was going to be like that where I'm like, this is going to not fit in. This is, like, a weird episode. But then I was so... entertained,
yeah,
by because he—that's what right when he's like, "All right, whatever, we're about to get canceled. Fine, let him out. Any idea is a good idea. We'll do them all." And then the next episode of the show you watch is the actual episode of Glow, where you see them all doing their own thing and like how they all have to act in it because they don't have anybody else. Like when he's the bouncer at the club or whatever, uh-huh. Like Sam's the bouncer at the club
and Zoe's like, twin sister,
right? And they come up with all this shit and like. Britannica trying to like make the mannequin a person and then like black magic thing. And like they were using that scene, that stupid scene to all it was set up for the match between black magic and Britannica.
Right.
And yeah. So I'm like, oh shit. Like it's a stupid show. And then you get fighting.
Yeah.
And it's, and so when I watched the documentary afterwards and like one of the ladies is like, we were like a cross between MTV and Saturday Night Live and WWF. And like we had everything. We had comedy. We had drama. We had action. We had fighting. Mm-hmm. Like we had everything. And I was like, oh, I get it. Because when you watch episode 8 and you actually watch what the show was like, you're like, oh, shit. Like you do have all that stuff. So anyway, that episode was like.
That was a lot of fun.
Real good.
That was a lot of fun.
On point.
The,
and then, yeah.
the character who plays Britannica is very entertaining, especially when she does bigger things. So, like, when she, first of all, her uploading her brain back.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah.
That was a little shocking.
I know what to do with this. And then I was like, oh, she's going to go not to the computer. Oh, yeah. Oh. That was, right in the hoo-ha.
Yeah. And then she's like doing the equation.
Oh, it's so
I'm
funny.
Back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That whole episode 8, it was so good because you kind of wanted to see that throughout the whole time.
You want to see what this product looked like. Yeah.
And they do that throughout the show sometimes when you can tell, too, because it cuts from full screen HD. Did you ever notice when it, like, cut to...
The smaller, like, ratio?
Uh-huh. And so you're actually watching it through the cameras like they were doing. And I'm like, man, this is good. And, like, God, I keep talking and I keep thinking about new things that are great. Like, when he lets his daughter run the show and he's, like, gets the camera.
Mm-hmm.
And, like... God, like all these little moments.
Yeah.
Like he has the moment with Beirut in the hospital and he's like, I hate hospitals because my mom died and I wish I would have taken her to Italy like she wanted so she could die on her own terms and da 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 da. And then he's like, well, we're about to get canceled. And she's like, but we can die on our own terms. And I'm like, fuck! Like, yes! Like, like all these things just tied together.
That was another funny little... There's lots of like little funny lines.
Yeah.
One of the ones that I wanted to point out was when they're practicing the breakdancing.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, are you going to do the white girl who breakdances thing, who tries to breakdancing? She's like, no, we're going to do the white girl who does breakdance. She's like, wow, spot on. That's exactly what a white girl would say. It's like misdirection. You're like, perfect. And then there was another one when they show a clip, like, from the show.
Yeah.
And they have Welfare Queen. I call this the Liberty Bell special because it's all white meat and I found it in the trash. I laughed about that time again. And I found it in the trash. Eating the chicken. That's so funny.
Oh, man. So, bottom line, the show is good.
The show is super duper money.
And super duper money. I hope it's another season.
And one more little like throwaway like comedy bit.
I could keep going all night, but
no, we'll wrap it up here shortly. Yeah. When they're in the hospital and she gets her leg broken.
Yeah.
And then they leave and she's like Debbie comes out, it's like, how is it? She's like, it's fucking broke. And he's like, oh, he's like, I've never felt so bad about anything in my life. And then Mark Maron goes, yeah, you've lived a charm life.
Yeah, it must be lucky. Like, it must be nice or something. Yeah,
you must have lived a charm life. This is your worst thing?
Like so many of it. So many little things that are like
really well done.
And when she's like, I need clothes for for Ruth so she doesn't have to walk out of the hospital in a leotard. Mm-hmm. And then she like gives her the clothes and she's like, does she have anything cuter? And she just looks at her right. like, no. Yeah, she doesn't even shake her head. Yeah. She just looks at her like, uh-uh. No. Like, what are you thinking? It's Ruth. Like, it's and there's no dialogue for that. It's just Sheila looking at her and saying, like, no, this is yeah. what Ruth has.
You
like,
know, it's interesting, too, this whole, the whole, for both seasons, they, because Alison Brie is a fantastically attractive
yeah.
woman.
Yeah.
They regular her up. Big time. Like, they make her, they tone her way down.
Oh, yeah.
They almost, like, give her, like, eye bags
under her eyes.
And like, you know, and unflattering features almost
yeah.
throughout all of it. And, which is just an interesting choice. But it works for the character for sure, especially
yeah.
in contrast to Debbie's glamorous character. So.
Golly, dude, it's so good.
It's brilliant. All like, it, watch it, watch
and, like,
it.
As
watch
we're talking
it.
About it, you, I just keep Again. Coming up with new things that I want to talk about because. There's so many moments and so many good things that happen yeah. in the show.
So if you had something that you thought that was really spectacular that you'd like to share with us, please let us know because we like continue the conversation.
Absolutely.
In chat, in messages, in
Facebook message.
Leave us a phone message.
Voicemail at 619-438-0532.
How much you loved Glow.
Or send us an email at lifesofbinge@gmail.com, however you want to get a hold of us. But we'll wrap it up because, like I said, we could gush about this show forever.
Yeah.
And I think we're at a good stopping point.
Happy.
So thanks out there for listening, and we'll see you guys next week. But for now, this has been Life's a Binge. I'm Jared.
I'm BJ.
And I'm Mike.
Yeah.
And yeah. we'll
see you on the couch.
Life's a Binge. Bow, 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 bow. Ow, wow.
Oh. Right?
This has been a Life's a Binge production. Be sure and leave us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever else you find the show. You can find us on all social media at Life's a Binge. Send us an email at lifesabinge@gmail.com. Join the phone army by dialing 619-438-0532. And if all else fails, check out our website at lifesabinge.com. Thanks for listening, and as always, we'll see you on the couch.
What could I do? Okay, all right.
Everything is awesome.
Sex Panther? Why am I in Sex Panther?
Clip that. We're using that later.
I am glad I hit the record.